Welcome to minute 119 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Dana Nachman, award-winning documentary filmmaker. Welcome back to the show, Dana.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Yes. We are continuing with our preparations for the Battle of Rommel. that's what we've been doing. We've been just having a sort of montage type of thing. And so minute 119 begins with Mellish showing a little more sympathy for Upham than he has up until now, and ends with Miller seeming to want a little more coffee. So we ended things yesterday with Mellish explaining to Upham what his job is meant to be, which, anyone who's seen the movie knows that that is a very important part of this movie. The what Upham does or doesn't do when he's in the middle of battle, basically. Today we continue with that. We yesterday he was told that he needs to be Johnny on the spot, which means you got to be at the right place at the right time. So we'll have to wait and see later in the movie whether Upham actually manages to do that or not. Maybe partially, possibly part of the, who knows. So the conversation continues, and then Mellish says to him, "You're right." He goes, "Yeah, yes." And then we get a little bit of a story from Upham. He goes, when we were shipping out of England, the supply sergeant was handing out cartons of cigarettes. And I said, "No, thank you. I don't smoke." And he goes, "I don't smoke." And, we see how jittery he is in this particular situation. And he's ready to he doesn't want to be there, unlike a lot of the other characters who have found a way to I guess deal with the stress of the situation. He has no clue whatsoever of how to deal with the stress, and Jeremy Davies does a great job showing how this character is trying to deal with all of this this stress, but has no way of really understanding of how to do it. He just must be chain smoking.
He seems ill prepared.
Yeah, that's actually what I would say too. He really has just no clue. About what to do.
Right.
As far as he's concerned, he wants to be able to move along. He's not a combat soldier. So from his perspective, that's just not something that he knows how to do. And, just the way that he's shaking and jittering as he's, taking a puff on this cigarette, which it doesn't even look natural for him the way that he's doing it.
Yeah.
But he's doing it in order to just, okay, I've got nothing else that I can be doing right now.
Right.
That type of thing. And it's just great the way that they show his character. And we see for the first time in this movie that Mellish has a little bit more sympathy for him. I mean, anyone who recalls a little over an hour ago, when they're walking through the field and Mellish isn't. And, he doesn't act nice to him at all.
Right.
But at this point, he sort of has figured out that maybe the Brotherhood of War and stuff like that, that now that they've they've been together. They haven't been in battle together, really, but they've been together. Right. You know, he's kind of, you know, phrased the use here, possibly. And then he says to him, quite a situation, huh? Yeah, unbelievable. He goes, here. And he hands him some, you know, hands him some of the ammunition. He goes, fucked up all recognition, right? He goes, you got that right. And then you see, like, I love the way that we basically see the light bulb go off over his head, where he just finally figures out, wait a second. That's, you know, it's just giving us a throwback to a conversation that these guys had so many you know, minutes ago in this movie. And it's just great. You know, the writing here is just unbelievable because of the way that it constantly refers back to itself.
Yeah, I love that. Was this the first time, like, so they had mentioned foobar before, but they didn't explain it till now?
That's right.
Right.
They mentioned it. This is the fourth time that it's being mentioned.
Right.
Or the fourth conversation that's being mentioned. In. You know, there's the original conversation where they mentioned to him that it's foobar, and then he doesn't know what it is. And then he says to them a little bit later on that, you know, I looked it up and it's not a German or French word. And then the third time when they were in the the glider, when they were talking with DeWitt, and then, you know, explained the idea, you know, that there was a general who, you know, put steel plating on his Jeep, and, you know, that the plane ended up crashing. And so basically then everyone said, foobar, 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 you know. Completely, you know, they didn't explain it to us at that time either.
Right.
You know, this is the first time where this conversation will actually, you know, explain to the viewer also what it is that we're talking about here.
Is it's funny because I think what happened was when we were watching it the other day, I asked my husband what it was earlier, and he told me, but I don't remember which reference it was. But is that a word that a lot of people know ahead of time, or just from this movie, you think?
No, it's common military,
like snafu, like snafu vernacular. Feels to me like snafu, everybody knows snafu.
Snafu is the same type of thing, also. Snafu is the same thing. Situation normal, all fucked up. This is, you know, fucked up beyond all recognition.
So is it so, like a lot of people know it like snafu, but snafu is more common, I think, right, among lay people.
Well, one of the problems is you can't really classify it now as to what people thought in 1998.
Right.
You know, about that's part of the problem. It's like, you know, nowadays, I'm assuming it's more commonly used, maybe even because of this movie, than it possibly was, you know, when it first came out.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think of snafu. Another funny thing that happened, like sort of similar, is like 10-4. I had written on a text to some friends recently, and mm-hmm. They both live in America now, but one of them is German and one of them is French. And then they didn't know what I was talking about. I was like, oh, wait, so that must be an American military.
So they weren't watching BJ and the Bear.
I don't know what it was, but it was funny. It was like the first time, like, I feel like every American would know what 10-4 means. But I'm not sure. And so maybe snafu and foobar are similar. I don't know.
Again, it's one of those things that there's no way of knowing.
I'll do a little research project.
Could go either way.
Yeah.
Okay. You do that. that makes a lot of sense.
I'm on it.
All right. You do that. You do that. But again, so we see the recognition on Upham's face as this happens.
Yeah.
And it's just great, you know, when he just realizes, he goes, foobar, and he like shakes his finger at him a little bit and says, oh, okay, now I understand what you were telling me, you know, a few days ago.
It's funny, yeah.
You know, that type of thing. So it's just, you know, interesting the way that they put that together.
Totally. Like that. Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, you know, they continue with the way that the two of them are looking at things back and forth. Like he gives him a little bit of a slap to the ear, and he goes, "Ouch."
He's just such a wussy.
Oh, for sure. And then he goes, "Ah, okay, yeah, well, Fubar." And then he looks at him and goes, "Well, it's gonna be a real show, huh?" He goes, "Yeah, okay." He says, "Well, take it easy." And he goes, "Yeah, Fubar."
Cute.
Which again, this is giving us a little bit of insight as to what's possibly going to be happening, later on.
Lots of things.
Especially, I mean, Upham starts walking away, and he even drops some of the ammunition on the ground and has to go and then pick it up and stuff like that. We see that he's not as familiar with these things as he probably as they would like him to be, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that well, if you could do this a little better, it might be more helpful to us in this upcoming battle that we're going to be having.
Right. Everything's tension and going, ratcheting up the tension.
And again, part of the whole idea here is that when you're first watching this movie for the very first time, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You see that what they've done here is they've given this character, a nice arc where he starts off, not knowing anything about battle, and in some ways you expect him to know a little bit more at this point, but
Yeah,
he still doesn't.
right.
And it's great the way that they do it,
It's
because
helpful for the character because, if everybody else is kind of good at the battle and proficient in what they need to be proficient in, to have this guy is a great, it's just a great device to be able to use. Just to say things you need to say, and it definitely later in the film becomes, emotional. He's also an emotional kind of crutch.
Is it, it, do you think that the idea here is to make us relate more to the character of, do you think Upham is there for us to relate more to it?
Well, I think he's there to create a ethical counterpoint, like he did that when oh wait, was that, did that happen already? I can't remember now. Like, went to kill somebody early.
Yeah, we've had that conversation already, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so he's this ethical kind of counterpoint, and I think that creates it, just makes it more sophisticated and more deep, that not, it's not just that there's good and evil. There's areas of gray in battle, and I think he allows that to be said.
Again, he's also supposed to be the moral compass here
Right.
of the movie, which makes it a little bit more ambiguous also because of the way that it all plays out and stuff like that. So
Exactly.
yeah, that's very very cool the way that they've framed it basically
Yeah.
for the whole thing.
Really good.
And then the shot changes, and we see this very strange contraption, I guess you can say.
Yep.
Do you recognize this contraption that they're showing us?
Well, I know what's gonna happen, but yeah, I mean, the second shot, you can tell. We have many of these in my home, actually. Some people in my family like to tinker with these things. I'm just a pure drip coffee person, but others are not.
This is an espresso machine.
Exactly.
Wait, so you have numerous espresso machines in your house? Is that what you just said?
Yes, but I don't drink espresso, but yes, some other people have.
No, but why do you need numerous?
Well,
what is it?
There's some in the garage, like they get downgraded or upgraded depending.
Okay, that's interesting that you have a an assortment of espresso machines in your
right.
in your house.
Yes, it's a thing.
Okay, hey, if it works, why not?
It's funny.
Yeah. And so when do you think the idea of an espresso machine first came around? Like when did people start drinking espressos?
Wow. So it has to be in Italy, right? I don't know. 1800s?
Well, yeah, again, it started off as something else and stuff like that, but it was definitely in the 1800s. A man named Angelo Moriando, who lived in Turin, which is in Italy.
Oh, I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he made a steam-driven instantaneous coffee beverage making device in 1884. And it is known as the first Italian bar machine that controlled the supply of steam and water separately. With it, he eventually created the espresso machine. He got a patent in 1884 about it. And but at, back then, the idea was that it brewed everything as one. You know, it wasn't individual servings and stuff like that. I mean, like, I don't drink coffee, so I don't know anything about this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But you know, when I go and buy my wife coffee in like a place making coffee, you know, they still use things that are very similar looking to the machine that he uses here.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing that you know it's been 140 years and the machine hasn't changed very
right.
much.
It's true.
You know, about how you do it. Do you know why there are espressos that are called Americanos? You have any idea why where that comes from?
Well, an Americano, I think, is an espresso with added hot water, right?
Okay, exactly. And
I kind of always felt like it was because Americans like bigger coffees, maybe. I don't know.
No, it's actually because Americans wanted to dilute it
more. Oh, okay.
It was too much, too concentrated.
Yeah.
So when Americans around this time, around World War II, when they were starting to discover the whole idea of espressos and stuff like that, so they wanted something a little bit more or less
strong.
You know, right? Weaker, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
You know, that type of thing. So I just found that really funny that they, you know, they the French or the Italians or whoever it was, they decided to make, you know, a type of coffee that is geared towards the Americans who don't want to concentrate. You know, that type of thing.
Right. Okay. That's cool.
You know, it makes you wonder if Miller actually wanted an espresso or just wanted something, you know, some coffee to drink or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Because of the way that he's shaking the machine back and forth and stuff like that, you know, trying to get those little drops out or whatever it is.
Right, 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 right. That's crazy.
Yeah. Again, maybe he just wanted water. That could also be.
That's true.
Like if I were to come across a machine like that, I wouldn't have no idea how to use it. You know, I would have done the same thing. I would have just you know, pulled it, you know, tried to turn it over and get whatever liquid is in there out and that type of thing.
Right, right. That would be crazy.
Yeah, but it also looks a little too light because when he moves it, you see that the whole thing just like shakes with him.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Again, tomorrow we'll see that a little more. But, you know, here he's just trying to, you know, he's just turning knobs, trying to figure out what will work and what won't work.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, it does look a pretty substantial piece compared to ones I've
seen. Yeah. Correct. Well, again, nowadays there are easier ways to make it than there were back then.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, from that perspective. I actually read somewhere that one of the reasons that they put this in this little scene in the movie is to give a little bit of slapstick to the to the fact that we're, you know, right now waiting for this battle to occur.
Uh-huh.
You know, so here, let's just put something that's a little funny in there. You know, to try and lighten the mood a little bit or something like that.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how effective that is, but, you know. Oh, well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And as he's playing with this, the minute ends.
Yep. Great.
Yeah. So did you have anything else you wanted to say about this minute?
No, I think it, you know, was more kind of less going on than yesterday's minute, you know, but important because it's setting up again a lot of things. Did you find through your analysis with the rest of the movie or the previous parts of the movie that it had as much depth to each scene, or is it getting more and more as the time goes on?
It, in this particular season, there most of the episodes, most of the minutes have less things to talk about. But sometimes, sometimes the discussions will go down different rabbit holes,
yeah, and
stuff like that. But
these minutes.
But overall,
yeah, I mean, these minutes.
Overall, that we've discussed, these minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, these minutes are similar to the average way that these minutes have been going this season, which is fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I feel like
the idea is to talk about it as much as we can.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like these minutes in particular are kind of chock full of a lot of story, and I was just wondering if all of the minutes previous have as much story packed into each minute, or if it's just that we're kind of catapulting to a very big climax coming up soon, you know.
I think we're just getting closer to the climax.
Yep.
I think that's what it is. Yep. You know, he's slowly building it up to get to there.
Yeah.
All right. So every Thursday we have a segment which is a game.
Mm.
Okay. You and I are going to be playing a game
today.
And the game is called Say What Thursday.
Okay.
Okay, and the idea behind this this segment is that in this movie there are tons and tons of actors that are very recognizable, that a lot of them have become famous ever since this movie came out,
mm-hmm.
and they've been in other movies, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So what I did was I picked, I decided to create a game where I will give you a quote from a movie.
Uh-huh.
And I will tell you the year of the movie, and you have to try and tell me, who said the quote and in what movie it was.
Oh,
now,
I'm going to be very bad.
Because there are so many movies, so many actors in this movie to choose from, so I've narrowed it down to three.
Okay.
Okay. So you only have three choices.
Okay.
Okay. It's either going to be Tom Hanks, Ted Danson, okay, or Matt Damon.
Okay.
Okay, those are your only three choices.
Okay.
Not going to be anyone else. I'm not going to give you, a quote from Barry Pepper or something like that.
Okay.
You know, don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
I think you're going to do well because I have geared this a little towards you.
Okay.
So
I
hope, based on what I know of Dana Nachman, you've seen all five of these movies. That's what I hope, which will give you more of a chance.
Okay.
Of getting these. Okay. Now, again, it doesn't mean that I've used all three of these actors.
Okay.
Okay. There's no guarantee. They could all be the same actor. They could be a mix of the three. They can be a mix of two of the three, you know, whatever. But the only answers will be either Tom Hanks, Ted Danson, or Matt Damon.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll start off with a movie from 1994.
Okay.
Okay. And the quote is, "I'm pretty tired." I think I'll go home now. And again, this Forrest could be Gump. Matt Damon.
Oh, Forrest Gump. Damon.
And you were right.
Okay.
And you were right. There you go. You got it. Perfect.
Okay.
You see, it's not that difficult thing.
No.
Okay. The next one is from 1999.
Okay.
Okay. And the quote is, Matthew is my father's son. Annabelle is my grandfather's daughter. We are an American family.
Well, that's easy. That's, you've got mail.
Yes. Wait, so you haven't guessed who the actors are in these two.
Both Tom Hanks.
Your two guesses.
Yeah.
That's right. Both of those were Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to the next one. This is a movie from 1995. Okay. That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up or smashed or torn apart.
Wait, say it again.
That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up or smashed or torn apart.
Smashed, blown up, or torn apart. Okay, I think it's Tom Hanks.
Okay, and you are correct.
And I think it's... Wait, what did you say, 1999? 1995.
Can I cheat?
No.
Shoot. Think about the quote. Think about it. Who could possibly be saying
it? Yeah. Phillips. Shoot. I'm like...
That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up or smashed or torn apart.
So it's a war action-y thing, I think.
No.
No.
No. No.
No. Sid Phillips.
And you know it's Tom Hanks, and it's from 1995.
1995. I'm just trying to remember what was 1995. So you said he won 2 Academy Awards, and it was...
It was 93, 94.
Okay. Is it, what year was Castaway?
Castaway was 2000.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's somewhere between these. Yeah. 95. All right, you just tell me.
Think about the quote. We don't like to be blown up or smashed or torn apart.
So I guess, is it Apollo 13? When was that?
That was 1995, but that's not this movie.
Oh my God! What else did he do? I don't know. What is it?
Okay, Tim Allen is also in this movie. How's that? Does that help you?
Tim Allen. I'm just spacing on that.
What movie was Tim Allen and Tom Hanks in together?
I'm gonna be sad when you tell me because I don't remember that year.
You're gonna be very sad, which is why I'm still trying to give you hints.
I'm spacing. I can't. I don't got it.
Well, what gets smashed or torn apart?
Smashed or torn apart.
He says we don't like to be blown up, smashed, or torn apart.
I'm like,
I'm waiting for that light bulb.
I know,
I'm looking for that light bulb to pop up in front of your head. Don't cheat.
I'm just like can't think of any films that he was in. That's the problem. Other than, and I was looking it up too the other day. Because of my list. Where's my list? I don't got it. I'm in a blank. Do you want to come back to it? Do you want to come back to it?
Okay, we'll come back to it. We'll come back to it. That's a good idea. We'll come back to it. All right. The next one is from 1993. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the quote is, she looks like my third grade teacher. And I hated my third grade teacher. Wait a minute. She is my third grade teacher.
It's not Good Will Hunting, is it?
No.
Okay.
That was 1997.
Just like my third grade teacher. I don't know. That one.
She looks like my third grade teacher, and I hated my third grade teacher. Wait a minute. She is my third grade teacher. The movie also stars Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner. It's not. It's not. I was gonna say it's a League of Their Own.
No. No. Nope, that Bob was Reiner, 1992.
And Rosie O'Donnell?
No, Rob Reiner didn't. It wasn't in League of Their Own. League of Their Own, his ex-wife, Penny Marshall, directed it. But not.
Rosie O'Donnell. Dude, I'm spacing now. See this? I can't think of it. Ted Danson. So is it Ted Danson?
Nope.
No?
No.
Well, then it has to be Tom Hanks.
Yes, it is Tom Hanks also.
1993. All right, come back to that one too.
Okay. Bill Pullman is also in that movie. How's that? Does that help?
No.
Doesn't help. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I have somebody chiming in.
Is he right? What did he say?
Road to Perdition?
No, that's 2001.
No. What's the question? The question is, wait, I'll get back to you in a minute. Stand by. Okay, go to the next one.
Okay, the final one is from 2019.
Okay.
Yes. I hope you know that you made today a very special day by just being you. There's no one in the world like you. And I like you just the way you are.
I know that one. So that is Tom Hanks in Won't You Be My Neighbor?
A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Oh, yes, yeah. I will give you that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You see, all right, you already got 3 out of 5. That's great.
Okay, so now here we'll get the peanut gallery. So the first one was 1995.
Yes.
And it was.
That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up. Mashed. Oh.
Captain Phillips.
Or torn apart. No, that was 2013.
Oh, so my husband just said that's not far, that far back. What's that, Peter? What was it? We don't like being blown up.
Or smashed or torn apart.
Or smashed or torn apart, Sam.
From 1995, starring Tom Hanks. Hanks.
He has a pained look on his face as well. Okay, wait. And then the other one was it? He's thinking.
I think you guys are going to lose your California citizenship soon. For not knowing these things.
I know. Wait, and then the other one was, I'm actually not an original Californian. So what was your other one?
She looks like my third grade teacher, and I hated my third grade teacher. She is my third grade teacher.
She looks like my third grade teacher, and I hated my third grade teacher. Wait, she was my third grade teacher.
1993. Also Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, Rosie O'Donnell.
Bill Pullman. Reiner.
Jeez. Ooh, that makes me feel better because Peter knows almost everything, so he can't think of those two. Okay, just tell us.
Does he work in the industry?
No, he doesn't, but he's very good at trivia.
Well, tell him the first one also has Tim Allen.
Tim Allen. Maybe that's it. In the first one.
And Tom Hanks.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm having trouble. He's having trouble.
My brain's not in this frame.
His brain's not in the frame of mind.
It'll come to me later, though.
It'll come
when
to
I stop when I stop actively trying to think about it.
Okay.
So I should tell you guys tomorrow what it is.
No, but then we'll cheat.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, tell us.
Okay, so the first one is Toy Story.
Oh. Oh no. Oh, see, I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah.
Big, but then I knew that was way too early.
That's so annoying.
It was a toy.
Yeah, that was. I never would have gotten that because I wasn't thinking of him, and I wasn't even there. Yeah, that was actually in contention for my top five, but I just didn't do it because I felt like a voiceover shouldn't be the same.
Because you didn't remember about Sid Phillips, so that's fine.
I know. Wait, who's? Oh, Sid Phillips, the bully.
Sid the neighbor. That's right.
His name. Yeah, if I had remembered his name, I would have got. Yeah. Okay. That was a tricky one. Tricky.
Okay. And the final one from the third grade teacher from 1993.
Okay, yeah.
Any last guess?
No.
I'm trying to think of what other hint I can give you. The final scene takes place in New York.
Oh. Oh, I know what it is now. Oh, shoot. That was bad. that was Sleepless in Seattle?
Yes.
What year was that?
1993.
Okay. I'm trying to think of when he said that. Like,
he was... When his son brings his son him a letter. He yeah. brings him a letter from a woman with a picture.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then he goes, oh, she looks like my third grade teacher. And I hated my third grade teacher. And then he goes, wait a second. That is my third grade teacher.
Yes. I forgot about that. Okay. Good ones.
Yes. All right.
A tricky game.
The toys. Okay, but you got three of those right off the bat. So that's great. Okay.
They're the kind of thing you either know or you it's hard, but.
That's right. That's right. I completely agree with that. So you're good, Dana. You're good.
Okay, thank you.
And give Peter points for trying also.
Okay, I'll tell. He wouldn't know Sleepless in Seattle for sure.
He has a wife writing a rom-com, so maybe he would know. Who knows?
Yeah. It's not referenced in my rom-com though. Funnily enough.
Well, now you can go back and change it.
Yeah. Maybe one day you'll do a movie minute on my new movie that's gonna be made.
I will take you up on that challenge. I look forward.
When we're 80 years old.
You have to promise to be on it.
Oh yeah, I'll be on it.
Okay. All right. If that's the case, then no problem. I will save that for a few years down the road.
Exactly. We will do that. That would be funny.
Excellent. Yes. All right. So Dana, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Sure. At my website, dananockman.com. Social media platforms, and you can find me under my name usually.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can send me an email if you want to, movierobminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. Gone by.